Greetings, sisters and brothers of the human family, my dear and wonderful sisters and brothers of the Uhuru family. This is Deacon Christopher Frazier. I am your minister of information, and today's recording date is January the 9th in this new year of 2011. And you are listening to the Mind of God program on thinkaboutit.org, or emanating from thinkaboutit.org. And on the Mind of God program, we endeavor to climb out of the mind and mentality of this wicked Babylon system of slavery and exploitation, and climb up into the mind of God, the mind of Christ, so that we can find our way and endeavor to organize for freedom, justice, and equality, the kingdom of God in heaven, right here, right now, on this earth. And with the mind of God, the mind of Christ, we are ready, willing, and able to ally ourselves with any political, religious, and revolutionary organization that is about the work of freedom, justice, and equality, the kingdom of God in heaven, right here, right now, on this earth. My beautiful sister, Venice, is my producer, helper, engineer, facilitator, coordinating this website and preparing, and always in preparation in posting these teachings to make them available to you. You may contact me by emailing yahlove@comcast.net. yahlove@comcast.net. And as we always do, let us give thanks and praises unto the Almighty Creator. Praise is due unto the Father, the Almighty Creator. In the African Hebrew language, Father is known and referred to as Abba. In the African Arabic language, the name of the Father is Allah, spelled A-L-L-A-H. In Egypt, the Almighty Father is known as Amen. And in our Native American tradition, our Native American sisters and brothers refer to the Father as the Great and the Grand Father. Also giving praises to our wonderful and beautiful and precious Mother, the Holy Spirit, the Almighty Creatress. She is referred to, Mother Holy Spirit, is referred to in the book of Proverbs in the feminine, and given the feminine title of wisdom. The African Hebrew word for wisdom is chokma, and that word is a feminine word, referring to a feminine entity, in this case, our Mother, the Holy Spirit. In the Living Bible translation of St. Matthew, chapter 1 and verses 19 and 20, we learn that she, our beautiful Mother, the Holy Spirit, conceived Jesus. Now, Mother Holy Spirit, and the reason why we say this all the time is because only the Mother conceives. We want to understand the Holy Spirit in the reality as our mother. Mother Holy Spirit is not only the mother of Jesus, but she is your, my, our mother as well. Mother of creation, mother of the universe. As Father is Father of creation, Father of the universe, and Father of the human family, Mother Holy Spirit is mother of universe, creation, and the human family. In the African Hebrew language, the name and title of our mother, the Holy Spirit, is Ruach HaKadosh. And the word Ruach is found under the number 7307 on the Hebrew side of your Strong's Hebrew Greek dictionary. It's a feminine word referring to a feminine entity, in this case, our mother, the Holy Spirit. In the African Arabic language, her name is Illah, spelled I-L-L-A-H. And our wonderful and beautiful sisters and brothers in the Islamic faith say, Ashadu, Illa, Illa, Ha'il, Allah. And you hear Illa three times, and Allah one time. And Illah is the mother, I-L-L-A-H, and Allah is the father, because mother and father have come together to give birth to that which we refer to as creation. And the word creator and creation encompasses the act of giving birth to. And in Egypt, Mother Holy Spirit is known as the great, as Amenet, the hidden and unseen mother. In the Native American tradition, Mother Holy Spirit is known as the great and the grand mother. So I greet you, my sisters and brothers of the human family, in the name and title of our Lord and Savior, the African revolutionary Hebrew Messiah, Jesus the Christ. In the African Hebrew language, his name and title are Yahshua HaMashiach. And believe it or not, sisters and brothers, but Christ has this day been revealed and manifested in the personality of His Imperial Majesty, Emperor Haile I, Selassie I, Rastafari I of Ethiopia, the 225th king in the 3,000-year-old Solomonic dynasty. Emperor Haile I, Selassie I, Rastafari I was crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the conquering lion of the tribe of Judah in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, November 2nd, 1930. So we say Jah, Rastafari, Haile I, Selassie I, as Jesus Christ, new names in these last days of judgment in Babylon. This is to teach us that Christ desires to be revealed and manifested within your and my, our personalities as well, thereby making our names the new names of Jesus Christ in fulfillment of the book of Revelation chapter 3 and verse 12, which teaches us that Christ would come in the last days, that those believers, those true Christians, those true revolutionaries would raise up the Christ Spirit within ourselves and raise up the Christ Spirit within the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed. And we, as the body of Christ, as Christ's new names, would overturn the power of the wicked ruling class, ushering in the kingdom of God in heaven right here, right now on this earth. You and me are the I. In Haile I, Selassie I, Jah, Rastafari I. We are divine manifestations of divinity, living in this divine universe, in this divine creation, on this divine planet that we call Earth, because all emanate from divine, and we are one with divine, the divine creator and the divine creatress. This is the meaning of this knowledge. So we give thanks and praises unto the Most High with no apology. And we are yet in Revelation, continuing our study And we are going to go into different news items of the day with the mind of the revelation of Jesus Christ, the book of Revelation, the apocalyptic revelation of Jesus Christ. Revelation coming from apocalyptos in the Greek, giving us our word apocalypse, along with the word revelation. They mean to uncover the truth, remove the falsehood of the wicked system, so that we may see the truth about the system and the truth about ourselves, how we can understand how the system works and how we can overturn this wicked system with the power of Christ in the mind of God. Now, the first issue is this Congress lady, Democrat, named Gifford. Her last name, I think, is Gabrielle Gifford. She's fighting for her life. Five or six others, including Gabrielle Gifford, was shot in Arizona. They say they have the fella that perpetrated the shooting. This is absolutely tragic. We are not happy when anyone falls prey to a bullet. This lady, Gabrielle Gifford, was shot through the head, through the brain. And she is, as of yet, she is yet living and fighting for her life, going through various operations. The first, not knowing any details, whether the guy was a Republican or a Tea Party, don't know that. Just know a man goes to a meeting, pulls a gun out, and begins to shoot, perpetrating violence, killing people, and wounding others. Caused me to think and understand once again that America cannot continue to go all over the earth, her military, her corporations, the CIA, the FBI, the Homeland Security, cannot go all over the earth and create hell on earth, destroy lives of human beings, assassinate leaders, and not expect that to come home. We, as so-called American citizens, are going to have to reject the killing philosophy of those in power, those in government who go all over the third world, Africa, Middle East, Asia, Central South America, Mexico, Isles of the Pacific and the Caribbean, and in the ghettos and barrios of other places like Australia, New Zealand, North America, Canada, Europe, and Israel, perpetrate impoverishment, which is also violence on us, and destroy the human family, and not expect that violence to come home. So, Sister Gifford is in my prayers. I don't want her to die. We want us all to live and understand these truths. Now, 2011 we're in. Want to examine the national discourse, which means the national conversation, and how the national discourse and conversation has moved from the left, past the right, and all the way into the bosom and lap of the wicked ruling class and ruling families of this wicked world order, namely the Rothschilds and the Oppenheimers. We want to examine how Obama, President Barack Obama, and the Democratic Party have been forced to go into political partnership with the Republican Party, and how we are all being carried over into the philosophy of the wealthy, the philosophy of the wicked ruling class and ruling families. Firstly, our brother Solomon, I believe his last name is Commission, our brother Solomon and Peter Fowler, I like to call him Pastor Peter Fowler. He has attended seminary school, and he's a revolutionary. And so Solomon and brother Peter Fowler on Your World News on Blog Talk Radio had a subject on December the 31st, 2010, called Struggle, Resistance, and Progress. Recapping 2010. And those brothers had a wonderful conversation, and they talked about the problem of the wealth gap, the problem of the wealthy taking more wealth from the poor and the working class. They mentioned austerity measures, how the government officials will be pushing austerity measures and defunding programs meant for the working class and the poor class and the people, and that there is an attack on the working class and the poor class. All of this would be in my summary so that you may go to these programs and listen to them for yourselves, because I love promoting programs that are giving the truth to the people. So let's continue on that line. Now, there's another program called the Taylor Report. www.taylorreport.com, hosted by Phil Taylor out of Canada. And this December 6th program, 2010 edition of the Taylor Report, a woman by the name of Linda McQuaig was on the program, and she spoke about the trouble with billionaires. And she talked about the stock market crash of the 20s and the 30s and the depression at that time, and how the real problem was the wealth gap, the gap of wealth between the top 1% wealthy and the poor class and the working class, and how, in her estimation, and all of this is on the road of truth, it was this wealth gap that caused the depression. And let me see if I can recall what she said. The middle class and the poor class having nothing to spend to keep the system going, and so the system surviving on such interaction between the working class, the system crashed because all the wealth had been taken from the working class, middle class, and poor class, and put in the hands of the top 1%, the Federal Reserve, the bankers, and so on. And so what she did was she looked at 2008 and the economic crash in this time, and saw that this same problem of the wealth gap caused the banking and economic crash in this time. Next program I want to talk about. I love listening to information and sharing with you where to go to get this wonderful information. Our beautiful sister Bonnie Faulkner, host of Guns and Butter, the December 29th edition of Guns and Butter. Her subject was banks, bailouts, manufactured market crashes with Max Keiser. And they talked about the stock price manipulation through electronic high-speed trading, global totalitarian oligarchy, HSBC and JP Morgan manipulate the silver market, stock market crashes more profitable than growth periods for traders, computers set up to steal, financial terrorism, suicide bankers, Fed policy that benefits the top 1%, growing social unrest, plague of mortgage fraud, IMF leveraged bailout of Ireland, Greece, etc., outsourcing of money creation, control through debt. And let me pause and say, this is Deacon Christopher Frazier. I'm your minister of information. This is the Mind of God program. Today's recording date is January the 9th, Sunday, 2011. And what Max Keiser wanted us to understand is that all of these crashes are manipulated by the banks, by the Federal Reserve. He pointed out when the bailout was first proposed, the bailout of the banks, the wicked ones who caused this whole problem, the people rose up. There was much anger at such an idea, and so the bankers. I think Paulson was the chair, not of the Federal Reserve, but of the U.S. Treasury, if I have it correctly. Paulson, I think it's Henry Paulson. I'm going to have that in my summary if I'm incorrect. Henry Paulson, U.S. Treasury head, I believe he came out of Goldman Sachs. Okay? If it was not head of the U.S. Treasury, he was head of the Federal Reserve. But Henry Paulson, I'm going to have that in my summary, I'm going to correct that. Henry Paulson, Federal Reserve, U.S. Treasury, said if you don't bail out the banks, we are going to purposefully crash the market. So there was the first bailout. Then there was the second bailout. It was rejected. Then it was said, Henry Paulson, U.S. Treasury, Federal Reserve, we're going to crash the market if you don't bail us out. They crashed the market and the bailout passed through. Another time, I got it now. The next issue was reform. Corporate reform, banking reform. Didn't want any true reform of the system. So here we go again. The Federal Reserve, the United States Treasury, said we're going to crash the system if you put too much reform in the system. So they passed reform, but it was weak, watered down. The banks and the Federal Reserve got what they wished for. The next time was this health care situation. If you go with universal health care, if you really change the system concerning health care and the relation of the people to health care, we're going to crash the market. Crash the market. They get their wish, this little mamby-pamby health care reform that Obama and the Democratic Party passed. You see how the Federal Reserve and the banks are causing us not to really stand and fight for what we really need, and they're causing the discussion to leave off the discussion, the national discourse, to leave off true reform, true change, and have us go for a little weak change, so that now that the Republicans are in office, they can say, we're going to do away with the little weak change that you passed. Well, we didn't stand for the real truth. And so now the little weak change that has come about, the Republicans stand to destroy that. But this is all the plan of the Rothschilds and the Oppenheimers. Using Obama, using the Democratic Party to move us from revolution, from true change, move us from the left, move us over to the center, move us past the center to the right, and past the right all the way into the hands, the bosom, and the lap of the Rothschilds, the Oppenheimers, and the wicked ruling class and the wealthy. Democracy Now, December 29th edition. We had Nairn. I forget his first. Alan Nairn. N-A-I-R-N. Alan Nairn, who is an investigative journalist, been standing up for the truth for years, was in East Timor when Indonesia, backed by Kissinger and the government of America and the CIA, went into East Timor and killed upwards of 1 million people. Brother Alan Nairn, I believe that was the late 70s, I believe that was 75, somewhere around in there. Alan Nairn and Amy Goodman were in East Timor when this went down. So these two, I love them, and I praise the Most High for them. But on December 29th, 2010, Alan Nairn was on Democracy Now! And talked about how as the United States loses its global economic edge, its one clear comparative advantage is in killing, and is using it, using the killing. So he talked about Afghanistan, he talked about Pakistan, he talked about how America's military, Iraq, he talked about Iraq, how America's military is all over the world, policies all over the world killing people. Say you vote for a Democrat, you vote for a Republican, you get the same thing on state murder, on preventable death. But we here have the right to rebel. We have to use it. So he's saying, like what we're discussing today, the when the Democratic and Republican Party ran for the midterm elections, you did not hear anyone criticize the war. No one criticized the killing going on in Iraq and Afghanistan. Where are our so-called revolutionaries? Other than Minister Louis Farrakhan and Amalia Yeshitela and some few others, most of those who say, and Cornel West and Tavis Smiley, other than those few that I just named, not many were standing up and talking about the fact that America is yet a killing machine, killing people all over the earth and killing inside of America. So Alan Nairn was speaking these truths. Next one I want to deal with is letters and politics. And so what we're talking about is how the national discourse has moved from the left, moved past left center, moved past the center, moved past center right, moved from the right, and is all the way square into the heart, the mind, the bosom, the lap of the wicked ruling class and families, the Rothschilds, the Oppenheimers, the Federal Reserve, the bankers, the corporations. On letters and politics, on KPFA, Brother Mitch Jezerich had on David McNally on the second part of the program. And if this date is incorrect, January the 4th, 2011, 10 a.m. KPFA, I had that correction. But I believe it was January 4th, 2011, David McNally, the author of a book, Global Slump. And what David McNally was speaking about was concerning Jerry Brown, the newly elected governor of California, and how Jerry Brown is talking about, and let me incorporate one of Democracy Now!'s headlines concerning, union and state workers come under increasing attack. Jerry Brown was sworn in as California's new governor on Monday. In his inaugural speech, Brown said he would oversee a review that could result in government workers losing some of their benefits and pensions. Listen to that. Attack the workers, attack unions, attack benefits of workers who fought for benefits and fought for pensions. Quoting Jerry Brown partially in his inauguration speech, this is Jerry Brown, quote, "The budget I present next week will be painful, but it will be an honest budget. The items of spending will be matched with available tax revenues, and specific proposals will be offered to realign key functions that are currently spread between state and local government in ways that are complex, confusing, and inefficient. My goal is to achieve greater accountability and reduce the historic shifting of responsibility back and forth from one level of government to another. The plan represents my best understanding of our real dilemmas and possibilities. It's a tough budget for tough times. Let me just take my time with this. And David McNally on Letters and Politics calls us to understand that the whole problem has nothing to do with the workers, nothing to do with workers' benefits and pensions, nothing to do with the poor class, the working class, the middle class, that the problem is the banks, Wall Street, the Federal Reserve, the United States Treasury, the wealth gap, the wealthy, the bank bailouts, bailing out those that caused the problem. All of our money, all of our wealth stolen from us using Obama, the Democratic Party, the Republican Party, the Tea Party. All of them agree, take our wealth and give it to the banks. Don't bail out people. People are being thrown out of their houses. People are losing their jobs. People are losing their pensions. They want to attack Social Security. They want to attack Medicaid. Attack health care. All of these social programs, food stamps and so on. Social programs meant for the people. And why are these programs? Because the government would not do right by the people and force the wealthy to get up off of our wealth and distribute the wealth evenly. So this is the problem. Why are there no tax revenues? Because people have lost jobs, and since the taxes, the burden of the taxes are on the working class and the poor class and the middle class, well, the poor class and the middle class are losing their jobs, so there are not as much tax revenues being generated, and so your cities suffer. Your districts and counties suffer. The school districts suffer. And the education wealth is not distributed evenly. Your rich neighborhoods and wealthy neighborhoods have a good tax base and they're able to generate revenue for their school districts, but poor, suffering districts have no tax revenue, nothing to generate funds. So we say distribute all the wealth evenly. Give us back our wealth that you gave to the wicked ruling class and ruling families. Now, in New York, the state's new governor, Andrew Cuomo, is preparing to call for a one-year salary freeze for state workers. More attack on workers. The moves by Jerry Brown and Andrew Cuomo are seen as part of a growing push across the country to limit the power of labor unions, particularly those representing government workers. The New York Times reports Republican lawmakers in Indiana, Maine, Missouri, and seven other states plan to introduce legislation that would bar private sector unions from forcing workers they represent to pay dues or fees, reducing the flow of funds into union treasuries. In Ohio, the new Republican governor, John Kasich, wants to ban strikes by public school teachers. Wisconsin's new governor, Scott Walker, is threatening to take away government workers' rights to form unions and bargain contracts. The only reason they can talk like this is because the national discourse has moved. The Democratic Party, save the members, few members of the Black Caucus and other like Latino Caucus and whatnot. You don't hear too much talk about standing up for workers, standing up for workers' rights and workers' benefits, standing up for that which the workers bled and died for. Why are there unions? You had to form unions because corporations and CEOs refused to do right by their workers. refuse to pay the workers a decent living wage and living salary. So the reason why unions were formed is to combat that and allow the workers a collective power to garner living wages, living salary, and benefits, health benefits, and pensions, so that when you retire, you can continue to live. Whereas if you lose your pension, you have nothing unless you've saved. And the whole system is generated to destroy the working class, the middle class, and the poor class. Now, union sisters and brothers, what is going on is that you and we and us are being turned into third world people. In other words, the same thing that the same wicked ones did to the third world, destroy the third world sisters and brothers in Africa, the Middle East, Asia, Central and South America, Mexico, the Isles of the Pacific and the Caribbean. The same thing that was done to them is now being done to us inside of America. So did we care when the banks and the corporations and the CIA and etc. went all over the earth and created slave wage market, low wage market, destroyed the people's lives in the so-called third world, took their land from them, and forced them to take jobs on plantations, mining plantations, and farm plantations at slave and low wage labor. We didn't care. You didn't see union people inside of America jumping up and organizing on behalf of folk in Africa, in Haiti, in Jamaica, in Asia, in Mexico. Many of us are still angry that Mexicans come over into America to find jobs. But why is that? Because they have been destroyed by the same wicked ruling class and ruling families, this wicked 1% that has taken the land, the wealth, and the resources of the people of the earth. So now it's coming to America. The private sector has already been destroyed as it concerns unions. So now the attack is on the public sector or government jobs. And so we're going to have to change our thinking. Not only advocate for ourselves because we're feeling the pain, but become advocates for the poor, the afflicted, the needy around the earth. Now, for the next couple of minutes, let me try to do this. The January 7th, one of the leading stories of Democracy Now, talking about Obama, the Democratic Party, his chief of staff, Rahm Emanuel, left to go to Chicago to run for governor, mayor of Chicago. The former mayor of Chicago, Daley, I forget his first name, said he wasn't going to run. This is allowing possibly Rahm Emanuel to win that seat. Now, while all this is going on, William Daley, who is a top financial executive and former Clinton administration official, is now the new White House chief of staff. Daley is the Midwest chair of J.P. Morgan Chase, a member of Merck, and a former member of SBC. Obama will also reportedly name former Goldman Sachs consultant Gene Sperling to head the National Economic Council. So, sisters and brothers, the problem, once again, is that the government is controlled by the bankers. The Federal Reserve, controlled by the Rothschilds, the Oppenheimers, controlled by the bankers. They are in control of the government of America. And Obama is not coming to people like Michael Hudson and others like Michael Hudson, who are economists, and some of these others we talked about. People like Alan Nairn and people like people like Linda McQuaig and people like Max Kaiser and people like, is it Danny McClare? Not coming to these types of people, excuse me, David McNally. Obama's not turning to people like that to fulfill certain offices. Obama is continuing to go to the banks, Morgan Chase, Goldman Sachs, and so on, because the government is in control, is being controlled, or in the control of the bankers, Wall Street, the Rothschilds, and the Oppenheimers. And all of this is causing us not to discuss true justice and equality. We're speaking that which is in the mind of the Rothschilds, the Oppenheimers, the bankers, Wall Street, the corporations, the wealthy. This is the problem. We're taking our first break, and I will see you on the other side of the break.